Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is Todd Tomasello with Safeguard Your Soul Radio on Blog Talk. And we're talking about this week being prepared to be used of the Lord, preparation to be used of the Lord. As we spoke about earlier in the week, not everybody can be used, or should I say, the Lord can't use every vessel to the same degree, if you will. It has to do with that person's willingness and obedience to Him to be prepared by Him on His terms. And we're going to explore some of those things in the Word of God today, which is going to be very exciting. I've got a guest on the line with us today, and this man has... him and I have been friends since 1992 or 93, when I went to a small Bible college there in San Antonio, Texas. That's what got me to Texas. And his name is Mr. Chris Sitter. Hi, Chris. How are you, brother?
Good morning, Todd. Thanks for having me on here. It's always a blessing.
Amen. Chris has a beautiful wife and two children, and... where are you living now, brother? What area?
North side of San Antonio, Texas.
Nope. North side of San Antonio. Okay, I thought so. Kind of between Austin and San Antonio, huh?
Pretty close to New Braunfels, yes.
Okay. Hallelujah, brother. Well, brother, we've been talking about for years these things, and we used to do a Pal Talk show together, and have had some extensive blessings in serving the Lord. Somewhat side to side for 20-something years. And so I rejoice to be on air with you today and to discuss being prepared of the Lord, man. You know, Joshua, and I'm going to give it over to you here a little bit and see what the Lord wants to be said here. But, you know, Joshua 3:5 comes to mind, where the Lord says, "Sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do great things." So if we sanctify ourselves today, Brother Chris, it seems like that's the preparation for the Lord to be able to use us tomorrow or in the days ahead, in the future.
Amen. Amen. And since He's the vine and we're the branches, that John 15:5 comes to mind. I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. So we need to be abiding in him. He says if we keep his commandments, we'll abide in his love. And so we need to maintain that connection. We need to care for our soul and watch out for things that would disconnect us and cause us to damage that relationship and that sensitivity and those ears to hear. And even Jesus said that, you know, he just did that which he saw the Father doing and heard the Father saying. And also another thing that comes to mind is, you know, we have to work with him. We have to hear him and we have to work with him. So we have to be led by the Spirit of God, because if we just go out with our evangelist, you know, sidearms on, ready to go or wield the sword, you know, ready to just, in our own direction, we might completely miss those people that the Lord would have us to encourage, to comfort, to rebuke, to share with, or just hungry. And we have to work with him, because it says in John 6:44, "No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I will raise him on the last day."
Yes.
And so as we you know, we just need to be sensitive. Which part God has for us to do? And it comes to mind that I'm learning. I have a flea market I like to go to, and it seems that I've been going there for years and Saturdays, and I just tried. I found that if I can get myself just be filled with the Spirit, you know, and be sensitive. Say, "Lord, what do you have for me?" I didn't always do it this way. A lot of times I brought it. Big pockets, you know, full of tracks, or do several tracks, and I'd be ready to, you know, ready to hand them out to anybody I could I could get them to, and then I found sometimes that I'm more effective if I'm just really listening, you know, to see what, and I'll find that God's got a brother that's discouraged, you know, or somebody that needs to pray, or somebody that needs to be corrected, you know, or rebuked, or preached repentance to, or but it's God knows who needs what, and if we have, as you said, prepared, if we have our, you know, what's that verse where man will be truly furnished unto every good work? Isn't that about sharpening our sword?
Yeah, absolutely. That says that's what he says. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be thoroughly furnished, prepared unto every good work. You know, as you're speaking, Chris, it comes to mind that being called to do ministry, which simply means to be called to serve the body of Christ, which you and I have been called to do, and certain men have been called divinely by God to feed his flock. A few years ago, the Holy Spirit seemed to quicken to me the truth that we see in John 10, but also in Hebrews 13:20, where we see that Jesus is called the great shepherd of the sheep. So he is the ultimate pastor, shepherd of his sheep. And, you know, I love what you're saying, where we coincide, if you will. We walk alongside of it with the Lord. And as we do in closeness, he uses us to minister his perfect feeding, word, or whatever that person needs, and blessing. And, you know, that's the ultimate preparation, isn't it, Brother Chris? Is abiding in Christ. If we abide in Christ, he said, we're going to bring forth much fruit. But going back to Hebrews 13:20, in preparing to minister to people, like if I was invited to speak or was just on a daily basis, you know, it occurred to me by the Holy Spirit, I'm sure, that the great shepherd of the sheep knows what his sheep need. I don't know what they need, other than in general, they need the Word of God. And it really showed me the foolish arrogance of my heart to think that I knew, I thought I knew what they needed. And I began to pray on that revelation, Brother Chris, that, Lord, these are your sheep. You bought them with your blood. I didn't. Wouldn't have mattered anyway. My blood's contaminated with sin. But, Lord, you purchased them with your own blood, and you know what they need, Lord. Now, you feed these precious sheep today, I pray, Lord, the ones that you're going to bring in my path. And, Lord, whether you use me or somebody else or however you do it, please feed these sheep in Jesus' name. And, boy, I tell you what, that might be one of the most successful prayers, Brother Chris, I've ever prayed for concerning ministry, man. Can you relate?
Yeah, I can, and I think there's a verse that came to mind as I was thinking about this last night in Isaiah 42:19. Who is blind but my servant, or deaf is my messenger that I sent? Who is blind as he that is perfect, and blind as the Lord's servant? Just as we are going through that, for example, flea market or wherever you go that you are hopeful that, you know, hopefully all day long we're just led by the Spirit of God, and every single day, and, you know, and we shouldn't have to get revved up. Ah, okay, here I am, use me. You know, it should just be all day, every day, abiding in Christ and being led by him throughout this. Yeah. I'm rebuking myself right now that, you know, that I would even think that, okay, well, here we go. Gonna do evangelism. Because, really,
you're I've
abiding
got
in him all the time. Go ahead.
Absolutely. That's such a great point. And real quick, sorry to interrupt you, but speaking of that, you know, a couple of Saturdays ago, I was walking out of the gym, finished working out, and I had parked under some trees, you know, and this fellow was getting out of his vehicle, Hispanic fella, and he said something about my vehicle. Hey, see, we both have older vehicles here, or something like that, you know. As the Lord would have it, he started talking to me. And, I mean, you just talk about God working, amen, just ambushing, you know, even when you're not on the prowl, if you will, to try to minister to somebody, which is kind of something that we do in our immaturity. As we grow, as you're saying, we walk in the Spirit, And as we behold the life of Christ in the way he ministered and went about doing good, we can catch the spirit of meekness and love and care and concern and compassion for the people. But anyway, another subject there. So he starts talking to me, and I said, yeah, you know, it seems like to me that, you know, if you buy a vehicle, you know, like ours, 10, 15 years old, mine's 15 years old, and, you know, it seems like you get maybe pretty much the best value because you only paid $2,000 or $3,000 for it. And if it's a Jap car, a Jap truck, vehicle, SUV, it's probably still got 100,000 miles left on it that you can drive it, you know, and yet you only pay $2,000 or $3,000 for it, you know. Anyway, and so we had this kind of talk, and then I just started ministering to him in Spanish a little bit and gave him, I told him Jesus Christ is the only way to God. Jesucristo es el único camino a Dios, mi amigo. And a few other things, and gave him a gospel track in Spanish, and the Lord seemed to quicken Chris, so I just kept talking to him. He was completely, pretty much bilingual, so brought him through the law, and he admitted he had broken God's law and was guilty, fully guilty, and gave him the gospel of Jesus Christ about how Jesus Christ, while we were yet sinners, came and died and bled and was buried and raised again from the dead for us and saved us. Is there any reason, I asked him, Juan, why you couldn't repent right now and receive Christ? And he said, no, there's no reason. And I said, well, let's pray, and I'm going to stand next to you because I'm your brother, and you're going to throw your whole life into the hands of God. This is the day you begin following Christ, and I'm just glad to be a part of it. Anyway, he repented and put his trust in Christ, put his whole life, he repented, in the hands of God. So anyway, this wasn't planned by me. I was still huffing and puffing, Brother Chris, coming out of that gym, and here's a guy. So it can happen, as I'm hearing you say, and I agree from experience and being led by the Spirit, that it just happens so naturally sometimes, would you say?
Yeah, it happens naturally if we're filled with the Spirit, but if our adversary has successfully gotten his claws into us, and there's somebody say that has really offended us, and we're still mulling over the offense and finding ourselves tormented by our own unforgiveness, you know, we're probably not in a, though God could just sovereignly just decide he's going to use us because you're the best choice at the moment, and he needs to come do something with somebody. But I think two things that come to mind that sidetrack us in this war. I mean, we're talking about yielding, you know, wielding the spirit of truth, the sword of the Spirit of God. It's a battle that our adversary knows it's a battle, and he knows the things that would sidetrack warriors, and so he a lot of times will try unforgiveness.
Oh, yeah.
And we need to watch for that. He'll try lust. You know,
yes,
and you go to the flea market to minister for the Lord, and, you know, somebody's selling a whole bunch of scantily clad, you know, calendars, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, this is real life, okay? This is real life. So our adversary is going to say, you know, don't think about ministering to the Lord Jesus Christ, you know, just stay for a few extra moments here and notice these calendars and let these thoughts go through your mind, and then you won't be thinking about, oh, God, you know, who needs what as I go to these next people. So we're in a war, and our adversary wants to sidetrack us with a variety of things, not just unforgiveness and lust, but any other fiery darts.
Yes, and we've got to be in the victory. Amen, brother. We've got to win that war right there. I'm reminded, and I'm going to try to leave it at just this verse so you can continue, brother. 1 Peter 5:8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. He can devour us, Brother Chris. Don't you feel? I mean, I've actually, you know, especially in younger years, was more susceptible to sin and lusting or whatever. And you just feel yourself sinking spiritually, huh? Like just sinking down, whereas you were walking with the Lord in the Spirit. And now if you've given in, you know, when lust has conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. So the initial introduction of that thought and that direction of the Satan to pull you downward, because You know, we got an article on the website, safeguardyoursoul.com, called Satan Hates Soul Winners with a Passion. And, you know, are you on his hit list? Well, Brother Chris, I can say this from knowing you, you're on his hit list. Because you're on the prowl for the Lord, the Lion of the Tribe of Judah, if you will, by simply praying and asking God to use you. So he's going to throw those fiery darts there, isn't he, brother? To try to derail you.
Exactly. Because he hates people, and he doesn't want that truth and that light that we've been so mercifully and graciously given to go to anybody else. You know, he just wants us to be busy about stealing and killing and destroying all those people we're walking past. And we want to have the heart of Jesus Christ, the heart of compassion. He wants to lead all of them to repentance. He wants to lead, you know, help some of them who just had somebody die or just have, you know, maybe their one of their dear ones is suffering from cancer or who knows what, the hurting hearts and all that. But he wants us to completely be knocked out of completely ready to do, you know, take commands as we're listening and abiding in the vine. So,
amen.
You know,
something comes to mind. Real quick, brother. You know, do you feel like, as you're talking, so many practical things are coming to my mind as I'm walking with you through the flea market, figuratively, as you're talking, and I love this. Some reason I get such a picture here, as I'm sure the many in the audience are going to get. You know, do you think, and I'm going to kind of ask it and answer it too, do you really think that God, there's some people I find, let me put it in a statement form, I'm just observing, that the Lord doesn't have it in the cards today for me to give them the law and the gospel and have a full session with them, although that happens on a regular basis, and I love that. That's kind of like when he's bringing the increase, you know. One plants, another waters, God brings the increase. Amen. 1 Corinthians 3:6, Paul said. And so sometimes you're planting seed, and sometimes you're smiling at somebody and handing them a gospel tract. And that's going to be either the first seed or most likely another seed of the gospel watered. And if it's watered well, it's going to be watered well because that abiding relationship with Christ is affording you and I the privilege of having the love, the joy, and the peace of Jesus Christ in our lives. And they see that, and they don't have that. You know, that's what drew me to Christ, is the person who, one of them, but the one that ultimately led me to Christ, had something of out of this world. And so that little thing to you and I may not seem like a lot, but it's a whole lot. The person that had the Spirit of God all over him and had a love, joy, and a peace, et cetera, and all the other fruit of the Spirit dimensions of it, they probably had little or no idea how much I was being affected by that, Brother Chris. And so that one touch, that one hand on the shoulder of compassion, how are you, sir? How are you doing today? God bless you. And hand them a tract. You're not even mentioning even God, much less Jesus Christ. But I think we need to be aware of that touch right there, brother, that seed or that watered seed. What do you think?
Amen. Yeah, I'd say you just never know what, as we abide in the Lord and we have his joy and his peace, it's something. There's several things that this world is just trying to make it through another day. You know, that just they don't have it, and they see it. And especially the ones that the Lord is tugging on. Maybe somebody knows they need to repent from something, and they see that, and it quickens their mind. And it maybe somebody just so tired of being empty and desolate and hopeless, and they see that, you know, Jesus is the way. And it could be a small, like you said, it could be a small thing, a smile, a tract. That one, you know, it's like you said in 1 Corinthians 3, you know, I have planted, the Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. You know, neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God giveth the increase. And,
amen.
You know, we just want to be sensitive and...
Yeah, absolutely. And it's the, you know, it's the... The way Satan robs, what I'm seeing the Holy Spirit say through the scriptures and the biblical thoughts that you've shared, Chris, with the, you know, let him that has ears to hear, hear what the Spirit saith unto the church, the churches. You know, Satan always lures you in and tries to lure you and I in with this pleasurable sin, whatever that may be to you, whatever. And then once you step into it, you're like a bear that went for a piece of meat and got his foot in a trap. And I just wonder when we're going to stop allowing that, because it never has and never will lead to anything good. And one of the things it's robbing from us, Brother Chris, is eternal fruit of the blessing of being used of God, of being a vessel unto honor, 2 Timothy 2:21. And I'll read that. 2 Timothy 2:21, ladies and gentlemen, says, if a man therefore purge himself, it requires personal accountability and responsibility. The true disciple does not shun or deny his own personal responsibility, but he exercises his will in such a way as to participate in a relationship with Christ and lays the axe to the root of the things that do not please the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. If a man therefore purge himself from these, that's anything that's not of the Lord in our lives, as Brother Chris mentioned, he shall be a vessel unto honor. Amen. How many people want the Lord to look at them, at you, and say, that's my vessel of honor. That's a vessel of honor. That's a trophy in my trophy case. Hallelujah. Sanctified. Oh, boy, we could talk about that for a while right there, Brother Chris. Sanctified. Set apart. The Lord has set apart him that is holy for himself, Psalm 4, verse 3, and meet or fit, prepared, fit for the master's use. And here it is, the last part, prepared unto every good work. Beloved, are you listening? Are you crying out to God yet to prepare you? I love the song, Brother Chris, you might recall, Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true. With thanksgiving, I'll be a living sanctuary for you. That's a beautiful prayer in the form of a song. And let me just say this, because this isn't the intended, this isn't what Chris and I planned, because we really didn't plan a whole lot about this message. We wanted to let the Lord lead. But I believe somebody needs to hear that God wants to put a new song in your heart. If you'll just look up and cry out and say, Lord, just help me from where I am right now. Help me, Lord. Give me the desire. Break me. Amen. Bring me into the fullness of what you have for me, God. I do not want to live in the dismal darkness and anguish of sin. I want to live in the light with Christ, Lord. Cry out to God, beloved. Cry out to God. He will hear you, and he will reach down and lift you out of the miry clay of sin and set your feet back on a rock, on his rock, on the rock, hallelujah, and you will go forth rejoicing. Sing a new song unto the Lord, beloved. Today, sing a new song unto the Lord. I can tell you, and I'm going to kind of end with this, Chris, because I know you got a few more things to say, and our time's running short. The darkest day of my life as a Christian, in 30 years of being saved, I say the darkest. It wasn't like physical calamity had so much come upon me as just despair and hopelessness and just the deep darkness of that thing. And I've written a book by hand on the situation that might come into print that'll go into the details of it one day in the future. But, you know, brother, it was quick into my spirit to just start singing. Just start singing, son, because it is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High. Hallelujah, Psalm 92:1. And what I started singing, Brother Chris, was Psalm 42, as a deer panteth for the water, so panteth my soul after thee. As a deer panteth for the water, so my soul longeth after thee. And I just sang, and I sang, and I sang. It probably amounted to, I don't know, 5, 10, 15, 20 minutes. I don't know. I'm telling you, even as I just did that just then, joy rose up in my heart, brother. I'm saying this to encourage somebody out there today. If you will start thanking God and singing unto the Lord. Yes.
Amen.
Give him
thanks.
Yeah. Yep. And notice the verse, Chris. Psalm 92:1, right? It is a good thing to do what? Number one, give thanks unto the Lord and sing praises unto his name. There it is. And if you will obey that instruction, forget everything else. Take a moment and just start singing. You know, we all know Christian songs. We all know Amazing Grace, I would hope. And, you know, the treasury, this isn't our subject, but the treasury of the songs of the Lord, straight out of the Bible, and those that are quoting the scripture that I had learned over the years, I never realized how valuable they were, Brother Chris, until that dark hour. I mean, it was dark. We don't have time for me to go into all the color and the details about it, but just trust me, beloved listener, that was a dark hour. I mean, I was in great despair, and the Lord brought me out of that. Go ahead. Yes, sir.
Can I chime something?
Yes.
It may be that the Lord has got somebody out there listening to this that really is in a dark time. And Todd touched on two things, both thanksgiving and praise. And it says we enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. And I like to think, and I'm not saying it's a biblical picture, but if I think of a ranch, I'm living in Texas, so you know, you're going to go through the gates and work your way to the courts. You got to go, you know, through the, you're out there on the far outskirts and looking over the, you know, the fence, and you're looking onto God's ranch. You got to get yourself through this gate, and you're on the outside looking in. And you start that trek to God's presence, if you will, in this example. And that means you can be way far away in an absolute pit. But you start your trek towards God's presence. You enter his gates with thanksgiving. And you can enumerate things you have to be thankful for because, number one, you're alive or you wouldn't be, you know, listening to this. And you wouldn't so you start with that. I remember one time I was in absolute end of my rope, and I said to myself, I knew that principle. God had shown me that. Enter your gates with thanksgiving. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. And you can. You may not feel like praising God. But you can start with saying, Lord, I want to thank you for 10 fingers and 10 toes, or however many you have, and 2 arms and 2 legs, and just start enumerating the things that you have and get that Thanksgiving engine moving, and you'll find yourself, before you know it, you keep it up, just raw determination, and you'll find yourself before long, you'll be praising God, and you'll be working your way down his gate, through his road, if you will, into his courts with praise, and work your way into his presence where there's fullness of joy and restoration. And so that's you out there. God give you tons of grace and mercy. He's plenteous in mercy and ready to forgive. And
amen. That is so beautiful. That is absolutely beautiful. You know, contentment will always come into being in our hearts, Brother Chris, when we give thanks to the Lord. We read there in Hebrews 13, when you begin to thank God for what you do have, instead of, Lord, I want this and I want that, and you know I've been praying for these things for years. Hey, we all have those. I certainly do. But if I will begin today, and precious saints, if you will begin today to just lift your head on high, Lord, thank you that you even created me. You thought me up and created me from eternity past in your mind and made me in your holy image. Just begin to thank God, as Brother Chris said, for everything you have. Look right at your body, my hair, my feet, my hands, everything you have to be used to worship him. That discontentment will be eradicated and vanquished from your heart. And you just keep that praise going on, beloved. You keep that joy of the Lord will fill your heart. And your cup will run over, and God will be able to use you in such a mighty way. It's all about, as Chris brought out through the scriptures, in John 15, an abiding relationship with Jesus. That's what this is all about, folks. We never need to lose sight of him. In fact, we need to cling to him, and that's the key to bearing fruit for his glory. That is the ultimate preparation. Lord, we pray that you would instill in us the holy fear of God and fill us afresh with your Holy Spirit. We love you, Jesus. Hallelujah.